let's get your Bibles out with me, because this psalm is the perfect one today for everything that's happened and for where we're going. This is the perfect word for today. Let's have prayer. Father, I thank you, God, for just the moment that we have to be in your house today, for my church family, for any guests that are with us here today. Father, this is your day, and we're thankful for it. We thank you, Father, Lord God, for just all that has taken place. Father, Lord, for Addison and choosing to be water baptized, for a family and dedicating their baby. And Father, for each family here that is holding on to the hope that they have in you. I'm so grateful, Father, that we can be together. I pray that as we get into this word, I believe it is a word specifically for Coweta Assembly of God. It is a word specifically for this body of people that is before me. So I pray, Father, right here, right now, this moment, Father, Lord, that you would speak to us through this word and prepare us, God, for a time of prayer. God, may every single one be able to just yield ourselves to that prayer time and allow you, Father, Lord, to work in us. We worship you, we praise you in your name. Together we say, amen. Well, today, I just want to really conclude last week's message. A lot of times, I will preach in series, and this one's really just a two-part message, and the title of it is Surrounded. Now, you and I together, you understand that if you've been with me since the very first Sunday of the year, we are compelled this year to approach each day with an outlook, allowing the positive to take precedence over the negative. And I know there are many people that are grabbing hold of that with Michelle and I, and we're believing every single day we're going to see the positive in what God's doing in and through our lives. I know that if we're genuinely pursuing such a life, that we're going to have to learn to train ourselves to be able to see beyond the circumstances in our lives and be able to see what is unseen, and that is seeing with our spiritual eyes, seeing what God is doing, what God is up to, what God desires to do, his promises, his power at work within us, because I believe God is up to something in all of our lives. Not just in some of us. God is up to something in all of our lives. And I believe it's always something good. And it's always something that is pleasing and right. And it's something that is admirable that he wants to do in your lives. If there's something that you need in your family, you're in the right place. Because I believe God wants to minister to you. Because if you need restoration, and maybe you don't want to say that out loud, God knows what's going on in your home. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going on in your marriage and in your children. He knows the different things that you're battling with. Maybe you're here today and you've got an addiction that you don't even want to speak out loud because you're afraid of what that might look like and you're embarrassed about that. Can I tell you, you don't have to speak it out loud to any of us. You can speak it to Jesus, and today he can help set you free. He can give you on the road to being delivered from that. Amen. So I want to tell you, you've come to a church today that believes in the power of God. We don't gather together just because it's the cool thing to do on Sunday mornings. We gather together because we believe in what God wants to do in our lives. We believe that there's something beyond what we can see. There is a spiritual realm at work where the Holy Spirit is alive and working inside of our lives, helping us to understand where it is God wants us to be. And may he do that in every single one of us. We know when we talk about seeing the unseen, that's very scriptural. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. I gave it to you last week. It tells us not to lose heart, not to give up, not to quit following the Lord, not to throw in the towel, not allowing the world to overcome us, not allowing tragedy to keep us down, not allowing addictions to keep us bound, but to live in freedom and to not give up. And it says that though our outer selves are wasting away and our inner selves are being renewed day by day, the Apostle Paul writes this in telling us of all the things that he has gone through in his physical life and in his spiritual life. So he knows outwardly he's wasting away, but inwardly the Holy Spirit is making him alive every single day. And he pours that into us as well. It says, for this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen, they are transient, but the things that are unseen, they are eternal. And that's where we want our minds to be, on the unseen power and majesty and glory of God. Well, we spoke last week's message, and we ended up with giving you Psalms 34:7. And it says, for the angel of the Lord is a guard. And he surrounds. Some of the versions of the ESV says he encamps around us. He defends all who fears them. He delivers all who fears him. And what does that mean? To offer up a reverent worship to him and honor his holy name. God is with us in every way. So I pray today as we close out this message that we will open our spiritual eyes and allow God's presence and power and provision and protection and his promises to override every outward circumstance that's attempting to dominate our lives, that's attempting to dominate our words and our thoughts. Just allow all of that to be overridden by the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Amen. I pray that's what happens. For the next few moments, I'm just going to take you to Psalm 118. It is a precious psalm. Many of you that are Bible students, you will understand that it's not that this is going to change your life today, but it is the psalm that is tucked in between the shortest chapter of the Bible and the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 117 being the shortest, Psalms 119 being the longest, and then you have this precious psalm, Psalm 118. It is labeled as a Hallel psalm, Hallel meaning praise. Those psalms are Psalms 113 through 118, so this would be the last one in that set of psalms. Now, the reason why they are called this is they were traditionally sung by the Jewish people at the end of their Passover meal, their Passover celebration. When they began their meal, they would sing songs of praise. They would sing Psalms 113 and Psalm 114. They would have their meal, and at the conclusion of that meal, they would sing the final psalms, ending with Psalm 118. So when you really put that in the scope of things, you understand that this is a psalm that was most likely sung by Jesus Christ, a psalm that he sung on the night that he was betrayed, arrested, and was just hours away from going through the torture of crucifixion, the cross of Calvary, because he sat down with his disciples, and they had that last meal together. So they would have sung Psalm 113, 114. They would have had their meal, and then they would have sung these psalms there at the end. So most likely, now I can't, Pastor, can you guarantee that? I can't guarantee that, but traditionally this is what took place. But I can tell you, most likely these are psalms that Jesus sang with his disciples, and perhaps Psalm 118 was the last one he sung corporately with these individuals around him before he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, knowing that, you know what the Garden of Gethsemane represented. That's when he went to pray. That's where he's going to go and be betrayed. We know his disciples, they fell asleep on occasion. You know, he said, can you not pray with me for an hour? But they fell asleep. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was surrounded by darkness, the darkness of night, but also just the darkness of Satan, because we know on this particular moment, all hell was coming against Jesus Christ. Hell was coming with its fury. So as I'm telling you that, because I want you to kind of get a perspective as you and I read this psalm together, because this is a psalm, more than likely, it was on the heart of Jesus Christ as he was going through those moments and what he did. You talk about being surrounded, he was surrounded that day, that evening, that night, with all hell coming against him. But also, you already know this, beyond that, he was surrounded by his Father God, and of course gave him the strength to carry on and be our Lord and be our Savior. So with that kind of thought in mind, let me take you to Psalm 118. Verse number one says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love, his mercy, his kindness, his goodness, let it endure forever." Matter of fact, verse 4, let those who fear the Lord, and that means let Coweta Assembly of God today, for every single one who fears the Lord, let them say, his steadfast love endures forever. And then in verse 5, out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side, so I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princesses. All nations surrounded me in the name of the Lord, and I cut them off. They surrounded me. They surrounded me on every side, and in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were innumerable. They were all around, and I cut them off in the name of the Lord. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord has helped me. Verse 14, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord, he exalts, he lifts up. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. And then a verse that many times over you and I have proclaimed, I shall not die, but I will live, and I will recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. So open to me these gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray. Give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God. He has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you, worship you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. I go to this psalm often in my life. I go to this psalm often in teaching because it's just such a powerful and precious psalm for us to grab a hold of. It's one of those ones that you could perhaps read weekly. Perhaps in a season, you may need to read it daily. It's one of those ones that's really going to get deep inside your soul, and it's going to lift you up in every way. They're timeless words, and they're timeless words for every single believer. And not only does it just encourage us, but as you're going to see here this morning, it allows us to visualize the perspective of a believer whose eyes are open to the spiritual realm. Because I believe that this psalm has been written, it was open to what God was doing in the nation of Israel. Now, I want to give you five things. I want to be brief with them because I want us to get to a time of prayer. The first one is this: when I consider spiritually eyes that are open and what they will see, number one, they will lift up praise. They will lift up praise, for God's kindness and love towards us remain steadfast regardless of our ever-changing circumstances and life's challenges. How many know that sometimes it feels like the circumstances around you, they just keep changing? It goes from one to another. Sometimes it seems like it's bad to bad. Sometimes it's like bad to good to bad to good. But it's like always there's something that's happening within our lives. We know that our situations, they may change many times over, but in each case, this scripture lets us know that God's love is steadfast. His mercy, his grace, his goodness, his kindness, his peace, all of that remains resolute and unwavering. Now, for you and I, when we read this psalm, we read it in a little bit different perspective than those who read it when it was first been given. History tells us, and then also just doing some studying and research, and many theologians, they believe that this was probably being read for the first time at the dedication of the rebuilt wall of Jerusalem in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. So when they are reading this, they are thinking about all that God has brought them through. So it's being read over the dedication, and then it becomes one of the psalms that they sing over their Passover meals, and it becomes tradition there as well. So when the Jewish people would read this, they're thinking about all that God had done in their lives, but also what God would continue to do. So they're really thinking about first how God was with them, but then they went into bondage, and then they were in Egypt, and then how he set them free from Egypt, how he led them through the wilderness, and now he had Moses be their leader, and then he raised up Joshua, and they went into the promised land, and they took the promised land. They had battle after battle. In those moments, they had their ups, they had their downs, they had their victories, they had their failures, but in all of that, God was always with them. And then they had a season where they were just living where God would want them to live, and they were worshiping him, and they were honoring him with their lives and with their families. The next thing you know, the enemy's kind of sneaking in around them. They begin to tolerate the sin of the world. They become like those around them and the nations around them. They begin to have this pagan worship. They walk away from God. So God has to wake them up, get their attention. The next thing you know, they're going through trials and circumstances. Things begin to change a little bit. Those things are good. And then all of a sudden, here comes some more trials and tribulations. And the next thing you know, they're just totally rejecting God. And so then there comes a time when they are taken into captivity. You're still students of the word, you know the story, right? It's a pretty crazy journey. And I always say when I talk about the nation of Israel, let's not be too rough on them, because a lot of times our life looks just the same. So they have all these up and down moments in their lives, but now there's a remnant that's cried out to God. And so there are thousands of people that are able to go back into their homeland, into Jerusalem. At first, they rebuild the temple. And then Nehemiah says, hey, let's rebuild the wall. You remember all the opposition that surrounded them? Do you remember that story? I mean, daily there was the opposition that was trying to mock them and trying to intimidate them with their words. And then they had their army surround them. And what they were going to do is they were going to try to defeat them from doing that. But in 52 miraculous days, the wall was rebuilt around Jerusalem. And so when it was rededicated, they're singing a psalm like this. And they're reading these words of who God is and what God is doing. And they also understand if they'll continue to place their trust in him, what they're going to see is God's going to continue to move in their lives in miraculous ways. So when we consider this, that's their perspective. For you and I, we're coming in a little bit different approach because we didn't walk that journey. Our journey has looked completely different. And what we have been given is much more because we've been given Jesus Christ. So when we read this psalm, not only we see the power of God at work, but we see Jesus Christ himself at work in our lives because you know this, church, it is in Christ where we are able to find our strength. It is in Christ where we are able to have our lives changed and transformed by the power of God, where we can have a confident trust and a confident hope. And no matter what happens in our lives, we can praise the Lord and praise God, lift up our praise continually. Why? Because we are walking in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. For I'm sure that neither death or life, angels, rulers, things present, things to come, powers, height, depth, or anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the scripture tells us that no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, whether we understand it or not, whether we see it or we do not see it, he is with us in every single way, and his goodness and his kindness and his love will never leave us because that's the way that he holds us in his hands. He has such a compassion for us all. We go on and read scriptures like 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory, our yes and our amen. How can we lift up our praise? How can we have such trust? Because we are walking in Christ. You can go on and read scripture after scripture of the blessings that we find in Christ Jesus. And the one thing that we'll find as we get to Hebrews, it tells us that his faithfulness towards us, his love towards us, his forgiveness, his salvation, his strength and his peace, even though everything around us keeps changing, he never changes. And he reaches out to us always, wanting to pick us up to a place where he can hold us, strengthen us, encourage us, and send us back out to live the life that he has planned for us to live. So yeah, I'm going to lift up my praise because I know that God is faithful towards me. I know that God will never fail me. God will never forsake me. God will never leave me. Even in my darkest hour, I'm never alone because God's faithfulness is right there with me. So go ahead and lift that praise up to him. So as we move on through this in these next few verses, the next thing that I see in verses 5 through 16 is the second one, is to place confident trust in the Lord over anyone or anything else. For he is our strength, and he is our song, and he is our salvation in all of life's adversity. And when you read this chapter, and if you're like me, I like to catch on to things that perhaps I didn't see the first few times I read it. And in almost every single verse, the name of the Lord is mentioned. In verses 5 through 16, every single verse mentions the name of the Lord. The reason why it is done so is because it is emphasizing where our trust should lie. We are so grateful for all the help and support that we have around us, right? We are grateful for our surgeons. I mean, I recently had surgery. I am grateful that my surgeon knew what he was doing. Now, he was an old Navy doctor, and he spoke kind of gruff, and he was pretty funny when I walked in. He said, "Now, this should work. I've never had any issues, Steve. I mean, I could make a mistake. I could cut a nerve that I'm not supposed to cut, and it could cause, you know, pain for you the rest of your life, or it could cause a loss of feeling, but I'm not going to do that. That's never happened." And so I was like, that was an interesting way to say that you're going to get this right, all right? Yeah, he's just an old Navy guy. But I enjoyed talking with him, and he did a great job, and everything was good. I'm grateful for my surgeon that he knew where to cut, right, and knew what to repair, knew what to do. I'm thankful for the counselors, and I'm thankful for all the leadership. I'm thankful for, you know, our government. As crazy as it can be, we've got to have leadership. Can you think how crazy we'd be without leadership? Right? So I'm thankful for all the different people we have in our lives, our teachers, and just each and every one that's there to support us and help us, and the education and things they've learned and the gifts that they have. I'm thankful for all of that. So in this statement, I'm not saying that I don't have any trust in people, because there's a lot of trust that we place in people. There's a lot of trust that we place in the things that we have made. I mean, think about when you go to a theme park and you're on this crazy ride. It's just nuts and bolts that's holding that thing together. We put a lot of trust in what man can build and what man can make, right? We have a great army. We have a great military. We have all this before us that, yeah, we put some trust into it for our protection here as citizens of the United States. But what I'm saying, when all is said and done, above all of that, our ultimate trust is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, our life is in His hands. Our plan, His purpose, His promises, that is all in His hands. So the scripture is telling us here, we're not going to put our trust in anyone or anything else other than the Lord. Because it is the Lord who gives us what we need to make it through everyday life. When you go back and look at the passage there in the verses 5 through 16, you'll see it. I called on the Lord. He answered me and He set me free. I believe in that statement. And I believe today, whoever would call upon the Lord in such a manner, He will answer and He will set you free. The scripture says, the Lord is on my side, so I will not fear. It says, the Lord is my helper. And it's better that I take refuge in Him. So when things come at me hard in life and there's things that I don't understand, I will find my refuge in the Lord. When I think about this beautiful family that sits here with me on this Sunday morning when this past week was a pretty tough week for us to handle, I'm saying together we're going to place our trust in the Lord because He is our refuge and He is our strength and He helps us in our spirit. He helps us in our heart and our mind and our emotions because we'll kind of be all over the place, but God helps Him put it all back together, right? He is our refuge in every way. It says that here the nation is specifically talking about not just one psalmist, but it's talking about the nation of Israel. They were surrounded on every side. It just felt like all hell was coming against them. Can I be honest with you? And forgive me, I don't mean for that phrase to be offensive. It's just the reality of what it is in today's time. How many's ever felt that all hell was coming against you? Man, you just felt like, man, one thing after another, even in those moments when you are just pressed down, the peace and the strength of God will begin to lift you back up. Because that's who He is. Because even though we are truly surrounded by those things, because hell does work against us, Satan does work against us, there's adversity in life. It is constantly working against us. But all those things, all of that is surrounded by God's provision and His power, His might, and who He is. So it goes on to say that in the name of the Lord, I cut it all off. Who this morning needs to say in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to cut off those things that are trying to bring me down. I'm going to cut off that sin. I'm going to cut off that addiction. I'm going to cut off that failure. I'm going to cut off that worry. I'm going to cut off that past. I'm going to cut off that hurt and that unforgiveness. I'm going to cut off those things that are really trying to get me down, that's trying to destroy my relationship and my marriage and my children. I'm going to just cut those things off, not because of my might, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will stand in Him. It goes on to say, the Lord, again, my strength, my song, my salvation. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly, and He does that in all of our lives. Church, if that doesn't speak to you this morning, I don't know what will. Because this is the Word of God that's going deep into our souls. Let me give these last few just real quick. The third thing I see here, verses 17 through 22, is this. Choose life and victory over death and defeat. For Christ who lives within us empowers us to do so. Again, we go back to this passage. I've heard so many of you, believers, Christians, over the years, just proclaim these. And these are great passages to declare over your lives. I shall not die, but I shall live. You have answered me. You become my salvation. Verse 24, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's kind of been one of my foundational scriptures this year. I'm waking up every morning. God, this is a day You have made. I'm going to rejoice in it, but not just rejoice. I'm going to choose to walk in it. I'm going to walk in this day. And everything that comes up against me, I'm going to just walk with You. So in the happy moments, let's be happy together. Praise the Lord. In the difficult moments, I'm going to trust You. My mind's going to be at peace, and I'm going to praise the Lord. Because this is a day that You have given me, and I'm going to walk with You and not anything else. Because if I walk in my worries, man, that's hard. If I walk in all the things sometimes that I see in my circumstances and other circumstances, that's hard. If I walk in my anger, there's just nothing fun about that for me or nobody. I don't want to walk in with a vengeful spirit or unforgiveness, not with some attitude, a haughty attitude. Lord, I just want to walk with You. And I'm going to rejoice in You. If that's the attitude we take, that's choosing life. That's choosing victory. Because a lot of people each day, however they look upon that day that they're faced with, they're either choosing victory or they're choosing defeat. Many times it starts at the beginning of the day. where you put your mind at. So choose life and choose victory. These are powerful declarations that you should pray over your lives and pray over your family. I love verse 21 and 22 because it is foreshadowing what is to come. We know that because we experience it firsthand. The cornerstone. Who is the cornerstone? Jesus Christ. He is the cornerstone of our lives. He is the foundation in which we stand upon, the foundation in which we build upon. He is truly our strength and our salvation. And every blessing and every promise from God is for us to receive. I go to Ephesians. I think about what Paul wrote to the church, chapter 1, verse 3. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Then it made me think of Peter's writing in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, where he says to the church, "May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God, of Jesus our Lord. In his divine power, he has granted us to all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us in his precious and very great promises." All of that comes in Jesus Christ. And that's been given to you and I as the church. So can I tell you this morning on this Sunday? We are empowered. We are empowered daily to choose victory, to choose life, to choose blessing, to choose promise. We are empowered to do so, not to be defeated, not to be discouraged, not to be down and out, not to face life in a way that there is no hope, but to face each and every day with the power of Christ working inside of us. A couple more. I almost skipped over this fourth one, and that would have just been the wrong move. That would have been Steve not following the Holy Spirit. Because verse 18 would be easily, I believe, to skip over. But I found it intriguing the more that I stayed there. Because it says, "The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death." You know why I really love that? Because that's the reality of what was taking place in the nation of Israel. In the psalmist who wrote, that was just being real. Because, man, so far, praise the Lord. He's my strength. He is my song. Man, I'm going to do this. But right there in the middle of all that, it says, well, he did correct me, but he didn't give up on me. He did let me know that I was going the wrong direction. And there were some things that I had to go through. For the nation of Israel, they were led into captivity. And now there's a remnant that's able to go back home. So in that, what I would say to you this morning as I look at this passage with you, I would go ahead and say, accept correction. Your spiritually eyes are truly open if you can not only see the good, but you can also see the correction that God wants to do inside of your life. So go ahead and accept correction, for God's hand guides us through our missteps of life. It was pretty funny because I asked the first service this question. I'm going to ask you just because I'm curious. I'm not going to talk about it or put it on social media, whatever you answer. How many here has ever had some missteps in life? All right, that makes me feel a whole lot better. The first service, I thought, man, I'm almost feeling alone with a few others. No, they're good people, but we don't like to admit things like that. But we all have missteps in life. The discipline here is referring to the nation of Israel as a whole. Again, we know their story and what took place. But it's the same for you and I. When we really ask God to open up our spiritual eyes, he's going to show us everything. Right? I think I did this last week, but I need to get back into your kitchen with you today, okay? Amen. He's going to show us some things. Man, don't you love it when God shows you the good and you're like, this is going to be awesome. You're like, praise the Lord. You put on your favorite worship song. You're just like, Jesus, whoa, woo. You're like, Pastor, are we having church tonight? No, it's Tuesday. Come on, let's have church anyway. I mean, you're like on a super spiritual high. But how many of you know when you ask the Lord to show you everything, he's going to show you everything. And he's going to say, hey, Steve, you know this area over here that's been kind of riding on you and it's causing you to have these emotions? Well, that's not necessarily everybody else's fault. Matter of fact, I need you to not think about anybody else right now, but just me and you. And Steve, I need you to approach an area of life that you have been trying to ignore. And I want to go there with you because I need to speak to your heart. And there's going to be some things that's going to be corrective, but I want you to know that I'm not throwing you out the door. I want you to know that I'm not going to make you move out on your own. I want you to know that I'm not going to just take you out there and forget about you. And I know we've been here before, and you proclaimed victory, but here we are back again. We got to figure out what's going on here in this area of your life, right? How many know when you ask God to open your eyes up to the spiritual realm, he's going to show you every part of your life? Because if you're going to have victory out there, you got to have victory inside of here. If you're going to proclaim victory over your circumstance out there, you got to proclaim victory over your heart, over your soul, over what's going to happen. Please do not say you're going to claim victory over something out there when you are bound by addiction inside of here, right? If you're going to really change and transform, let God do something in here and let him open the eyes to the spiritual realm of your heart and of your relationship and how you really associate with Jesus Christ and who he is to you. Because if you'll start there, man, it's going to be really good by the time you get out here. Amen. Man, that'll speak to us, right? I almost skipped that verse. Right? And not because I thought it was bad or negative. I thought, well, you know, do people really going to get that? Well, I hope you get it, because that's how it spoke to me. That's how it spoke to me. Like, you know what? Yes, I've been through some correction, but he has not given me over to death. He has not given up on me. And that verse to me, man, it shows me the mercy of God. Some people will hear that and like, I don't want to listen to Steve right now. He's just been all negative again up there, telling me I'm a sinner. He's been all hellfire and brimstone. Muldrow Steve's coming out of him right now. You know, old school. Pastor getting on us. Come on, that's not what churches do today. Give me a cup of coffee and make me feel good about myself. Come on. No, I'm going to give you this because I want you to have victory in your life. Amen. Now, I don't care. You drink coffee. That's fine. I'll give you a cup of coffee. We got coffee everywhere around here. But there's more to it, right? There's more to it. There's so much mercy in that verse. So much grace. Because I couldn't do it. I'm just going to be honest with you. We've all got these people in our lives, family members or what, they've called us a million times over doing the same thing. And how many of you know after a while you're like, I ain't answering the phone anymore? No, quit doing drugs. No, quit drinking. Quit being unfaithful. You know, stop it. You know, is what you want to say. That's what you want to say. No, no more money. No more cash. Get a job. You know, here. I know you can't get a job. Quit drinking. You know, I'm sorry. That's how we feel sometimes, right? You're like, no, I'm not even going to answer my phone. I'm going to throw my phone in the trash, all right? I don't want to hear it anymore. We can get that way. But man, thank God that he doesn't get that way. Yes, he has emotions. Yes, we see his frustration. Yes, we see how he goes, but in his mercy and in his grace, he's always going to hear. And if we're genuine, he's going to listen. He's going to respond. He's going to deliver us, and he's going to set us free. Amen. In that verse, yes, there's correction, but how many know correction shows the grace of God? Because that grace is what leads us to victory. All right, I got to give you one more real fast. And that last one is this, verse 23 through 29. Rejoice daily, for the victory's past. And the victories to come. Again, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I'm going to rejoice for all he's done. I'm rejoicing for what he's doing. And I'm rejoicing for all the things that are to come. Because I know with God on my side, I'm going to be all right. So as we get ready to pray here, with this thought of surrounded, yes, you may feel surrounded at moments in life where it's heavy, bless you, or whether it's dark, or whether you're just overwhelmed. But I just want to be very honest with you. If you'll take a psalm like Psalm 118, and you'll even sing it, make up your own tune. Pastor, what's the tune to it? I have no clue. Make up your own tune. Speak it. Pray it over your life. Pray it over your family. If you'll take a psalm like that and declare it over your life, wow. And you'll believe that, and you'll walk in that, there's some good things in store for you. Because no matter how much we feel surrounded by this culture right now, because, man, the culture is chaotic, right? And no matter how much we feel surrounded by the enemy, and sometimes his presence is very strong and oppressive, and know how many times we may be in that dark moment, we just got to know that that's just a small portion of what's happening. Because God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, who lives within us through the Holy Spirit, has surrounded all things, and we walk in his power, in his might, and in his peace. And when we approach life in such a manner, it's going to be good, right?